It is indeed good and a great privilege to be back here in the assembly in Victoria Drive. You know, it's not my intention to make differences, let's say, between assemblies, not at all. But I can honestly say this is an assembly where I like to be. And I'm really thankful for the opportunity to be back in the country. We have been in Winnipeg, and from Winnipeg we took the plane to Vancouver just 2 weeks ago. Now, we plan to stay in the will of the Lord till about the middle of September, so it is the summer over. And I'm really happy for this time, because last time, I remember, it was quite an rushed presence here in Vancouver of only several weeks. So I'm really happy with my wife, of course, to have this opportunity. Now, you know, if I stand so in front of you, you see, you know, a preacher. How do you call him? A full-timer? Servant of the Lord? How do you call him? But you know what I like to point out, and I do this with an heart, what shall I say? Probably with sadness in our heart. We have also our problems. It's not always so if you meet someone who serves the Lord full time, that always all things are all right in his family and so on and so on. And we came to Canada, and especially in view of Winnipeg, and we faced really great burdens. And I will not tell and go into details, but only this fact, please, we have also our difficulties. We have also our burdens to carry. And so I like to share this with you, because I think this is the sense of fellowship. Fellowship is really to be there for the other. Fellowship is never to take out of it for yourself as much as you are able to. No, no. You are there for the others. I am here for the others. And put into the fellowship, you know, what you are able to do. In serving one another. In loving one another. In helping one another. In showing a concern one for another. This is fellowship. Fellowship is always to be there for the others. Now, I hope that we grasp this and that we really have the reality of what fellowship means. And I think also from my side, it's good to draw your attention that we have in our family also our great difficulties, concern, burdens. Please keep this in mind. And you know, I would be very happy, and I know you pray for the Lord's servants, I know. But it is always good also to pray for the families, or the family of the Lord's servants. Now may the Lord bless us as we are together tonight. We have prayed. Our expectation is from Himself. And so let us open Scriptures in a word of ministry in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I like to read from verse 1 down till verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So far the reading of God's precious word, and we always trust that the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. Now, last night I was in Carleton and I took up the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And you know, I think if you occupy your thoughts, your heart, two things, not only our thoughts, but also our heart, of course. You know, with the first chapter, you see so many times that the tone is set for the whole letter. And especially, if I refer to last night's ministry, it was quite uplifting. Because, you know, you have something in the Thessalonians letter right in the start, in that first chapter, which is so encouraging. You find a church active in the gospel, genuine salvation, genuine love, genuine service for the Lord, and it is really a blessing in reading chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. But I think, you know, in each letter, to occupy your thoughts and your heart, first with that first chapter. I say again, the tone is set for the whole letter. Now, in the church in Corinth, and you know, there were many problems. And I think there are to be mentioned, and we will not do that tonight, but there are at least 10 definite problems in that church. But you see that the skill, of course, of the Apostle Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, in handling each problem. And my dear brother and sister, if there would not have existed such a weak church at Corinth, we would not have the letter to the Corinthians. Because we need the letter. Of course we need the letter. It is included in God's word. And you know, it is because of the weakness of that church at that time, you know, let's say about 2,000 years ago, that we have a tremendous abundance of instruction in this letter. Now, the apostle refers here, and that is the difference what we spoke about last night at Carleton. He refers right away to his apostleship, not in the letter to the Thessalonians. You know, he mentioned there the three names. Paul puts him on the same level with his two brethren, you know, and in the letter to the Thessalonians, there was no need for to have a reference to his apostleship. But here, it was needful to do so. Because there was even an accusation in that church, you know, about a doubt, a question mark above the service of Paul, you know, whether he is an apostle. His apostleship was really attacked by Christians in that church. And that is a serious, serious matter. Now, therefore, Paul writes right away. Paul called to be an apostle right away. And that is sad. And that is really sad for the whole letter. You always see that Paul is acting with the apostolic authority, and he had to do so. Now, to be called. You see in that first chapter that little word called several times. You find it in verse 1, in verse 2, and down. You know, you find it in different verses, the word called. Now, I think everything depends upon the call of the Lord. There is a call unto salvation, but it is the Lord's call. Now, I like that verse, what we are using of verse. It is not actually a verse. It is just, what shall I say, a slogan or a theme, you know. But it is, of course, a theme scripturally founded. God is searching for you. You know, when we had tent meetings over in Holland, I don't know whether you have ever seen a picture of the tent from the outside, you know. There is above the tent a big banner from one pole to the other, you know. And there is written in Dutch, yeah, God zoekt u. God roept u. God is looking for you. God is calling you. Two phrases, of course, scripturally founded. God zoekt u. He is looking for you. God roept u. God is calling you. And there are really coming in strangers. As a result of seeing that banner there on top of the tent we are using there in Holland. And really, I am always impressed when the tent is put up, and this year the planning is again for two places. Usually we have three, sometimes four places during the summer season. And, you know, if I see that banner, I am always thankful for the opportunity that we stand there as his servants, but you know, knowing that is a work which we do for him. God is calling for you. God is calling you, even by name. And God is the one who is able to save unto the uttermost. Now I always think, my dear brother and sister, in preaching that blessed gospel, that gospel which brought life to you and to me, that is entrusted to us in order that it will bring life to the ones who are still outside of Christ. Now all things depend upon the call of the Lord, and call unto salvation, and call unto service. Now Paul is referring here to this call, of course. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he puts forward right away the authority he had received from the Lord himself to be an apostle and to give the instructions concerning the will of God. Called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Now then he writes the letter, as you know, unto the church of God. Now, especially over the last years, I think, you know, also in Truth and Tidings articles concerning the local church or the differences between the church universal aspect and the local church, this ministry has blessed, I think, many, many of the Lord's people. Now, I believe, you know, if I see this kind of ministry which has come to us, especially over the last years, number of years, concerning the local church, I really think this is so fundamental, so fundamental. I think, my dear brother and sister, it always concerns two things in our heart. to have a conviction concerning your salvation. I hope you don't doubt your salvation. Now we know if there is, you know, someone saved somewhere and he may be still a young person, let's say, you know, in his teens, probably 12, 13, 14 years, or 16, 17, 18 years, that is also the years in which there are still the tremendous trials of life, the tremendous responsibility to prove yourself as a child of God. Now these are young people, you know, going to an ungodly school, and all things young people face today. And I think as older ones, we have no idea what is coming upon our young people in the schools today. Now I don't know, I don't have that feeling so much concerning Canada, but I have the feeling concerning Holland. And I really can assure you, but I think there is not much difference anymore. It is the world. And you know, I think, and probably we have to remind ourselves to this fact, a prayer meeting should also have a prayer for the Lord's protection of the young believers. They need it so much. Now to have that conviction of salvation, that is one thing. But I really firmly believe to have a conviction concerning the place where the Lord has put you. I think these two things are essential in the life of a Christian. Now I hope that we have that conviction concerning the church of God. A wonderful expression. Not the church of man, not the church of one man or a number of men, not the church of elders, not the church of a preacher, not the church of a missionary, the church of God. The church of God. And to realize that all has to come from God. Because if you see in this letter that not only the call came from God, called to be saints. Called to be saints. Now, if you are called to be a saint, act as a saint. And Paul is writing about that. Because right away, you know, you have the fact about Christians, and we are included. We are called to be saints. That's wonderful. And that is not a name which we have given to ourselves. And I think it is always the plural. It is the fellowship of saints. You know, I will not meet somebody and I will call him a saint. I call him a brother and a sister, but not a saint. I know he is a saint, that is to say, saints together, in the fellowship together, called to be saints in the church of God. How wonderful. How wonderful. And you know, to go into this expression in scriptures, you always will find that the church of God is used in connection with the local testimony, or local testimonies. Church of God or churches of God, singular and plural. You have the expressions both. But it is always referring to the local testimony, or testimonies, that is to say, the local assemblies. Now the Church of God at Corinth, location. And you know, these people there in that locality, belonging, you know, because of salvation, called to be saints, belonging to that fellowship there at Corinth. There was their place of responsibility. Now sometimes I wish, really, I told my wife several times, especially lately, before I came to Canada, I was for 2 weeks in Switzerland. It's my third visit to that country. That is to say, in the Lord's service. I have been in my teenage years one or twice in Switzerland on a little holiday. But you know, in the Lord's service, I have been there three times now. And it started in 1994, 2 years ago. And it started with tent meetings. And, you know, suddenly, and I don't ask me how, but they got a hold on me, they got my telephone number, and they phoned from Switzerland whether I was able to come over for tent meetings. Now, I thought that was quite interesting. Now, I know my German probably just as I know my Dutch language. Now, Dutch language is my mother tongue. German language, I have lived, in fact, 3 years in Germany, and I know German quite well. And I try to do my best in English. But, you know, having received that invitation, I was really quite excited about it, because I thought, this is an open door. And I started out to preach there the gospel, and I have really experienced absolutely blessing of the Lord in salvation and in restoration during these weeks of gospel meetings in Switzerland. Now I came back to Holland encouraged. And half a year later, or not yet half a year later, I got another invitation, and that was for 8 nights of ministry meetings as a follow-up. And then you have, you know, the opportunity to minister from God's word. But you ask always yourself, what is needful in this situation? Now I have spoken, you know, I thought preaching the gospel in tent meetings, seeing several saved. I thought the follow-up is to speak about baptism. The follow-up is speaking about, and now this point, my dear brother and sister, the Church of God, the place where a Christian ought to be, the place where a Christian, a redeemed soul, should be, the place where the two or three are gathered together, and we don't use it just as a phrase, we use it as a heart's experience. We are not using just phrases. We have the experience in our lives. Where two or three are gathered together in His precious name. I remember a small meeting over in Japan. We were together for the breaking of bread. It was a meeting sitting on the floor, no chairs, no benches or whatsoever. Sitting there around a small table, sitting there, you know, on the Japanese mats, the tatami. And there we had our breaking of bread, and I remember came a moment in this meeting that we could not utter any words. And it was complete silence. And there were tears. Tears. Emotional tears? No. The reality of what we were doing there. No, I will not say that we have to copy things like this. There is nothing to copy. But it happened at that occasion. It happened at that moment that our hearts were so full, and I was sitting there with just a handful of people, let's say about 8 altogether. That was the start of a meeting, of an assembly. And you sit there with 8 people, the start of an assembly. And there was a breaking of bread, and I never forgot it. And it will not say that there was a repetition of that every week. No. Don't copy things. Every time it is a new experience of coming together in that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be guided by the Holy Spirit. One time so, the other time so, but all with one purpose and goal in mind, to remember Him. To remember Him. Is that not wonderful? You know, when I started in Switzerland to speak about these subjects concerning the Church of God, I think, you know, the Lord has done something, because these assemblies in Switzerland were not really in a condition in which we like to see them. For example, just mention one thing. Once a month, breaking of bread meeting. Now you know certain churches do this. But we have a heart's desire to do it each week. Why? Why? Founded on scriptures. Completely. As we see the practice in Acts chapter 20 verse 7. Where Paul delayed his journey, right, to be there on that Lord's Day, you know, with the Christians in Troas. When he, you know, did not board the ship and to sail to be on the Lord's Day there somewhere on the sea. No, no. He desired to keep to that institution which the Lord instituted. How wonderful. On the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. That is the practice. That is the practice. And then we have the teaching, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 concerning the breaking of bread. Now I tell you something there in Switzerland, speaking about the testimony of the local church. The Lord has done something. Now I was again, you know, 2 weeks over in Switzerland. This time again gospel meetings. And it happened that I was there 2 Sundays for a Sunday afternoon ministry meeting. And then my last Sunday night, and the gospel meeting was from 7 till or what was it, half past 7 till half past 8. No, sorry. From 7 till 8. And the gospel meeting was finished, the last meeting. We closed the series of gospel meetings. And then the brethren asked me whether I would be willing to minister God's word for Christians. And there was an appeal made after the gospel meeting. You know, the strangers went out. And there was a request, you know, made to the Christians, those ones who want to stay behind and to listen to a ministry from God's word. And I spoke about the subjects, fellowship and the breaking of bread. Now, before I started, I asked a brother, I said, now, a ministry meeting. It's 8 o'clock. What shall I do? How much time do I get? He said, at least 2 hours. At least 2 hours. And I was amazed after that Sunday night gospel meeting. How many Christians stayed behind. And we had a meeting of 2 hours, I tell you. About the subjects, fellowship, and the breaking of bread. The meeting was finished, it was over 10, 10:15. And you know, I stepped down and I sat and the meeting was finished. And the people sat on their chairs. And I thought, what will happen now? And then one brother stood up and he said, may we have a session of question and answer? I said, that's all right. So there was the session of questions and answers. Now that is a good session. Because, you know, it is always good never let people go home with questions in their hearts. Especially after a gospel meeting. We know we give the opportunity, of course, to stay behind. You know, if there is any doubt, if there is any question, if there is something which they have not understood from the preaching, whatever it is, you know, we give the opportunity, of course, stay behind. Don't have questions in your heart. Questions will be answered
Questions must be answered by the Word of God. Here we have the answer. I am sure, whatever question we have, the answer is to be found in God's Word. And you know, the people sat on their chairs, and we had a session of questions and answers. Do you know till what time?
12:00 midnight.
12:00 midnight. And I have never experienced a thing like this. And you know, in the end, there was confessions. In the end, there was really, what shall I say, a manifestation, I am absolutely sure about it, of the Holy Spirit, that the brethren got the conviction from Scriptures concerning the testimony of the Church of God. And there was a promise made. No. We desire to be obedient to the Word of God. These were their words, my dear brother and sister. We desire to be obedient to the Word of God. And we change things. And we'll have a breaking of bread meeting each Sunday morning on the Lord's Day. Wonderful. That is a result. That's not only a result in the gospel, but that is a result of getting, what shall I say, the light from Scriptures, word by the Holy Spirit, the conviction, you know, of the testimony for the Lord's name, my dear brother and sister. We are a happy people, a thankful people. We have got the light, we have gotten the light. We really see the things, but there are places, and there may still be here and there in Switzerland, but I am convinced that the Lord is working in a marvelous, marvelous way. Now that is the testimony of the Church of God. That is the local church. And if we see this letter, there is sufficiently instruction concerning the local church. Called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wonderful expression. You know, you see so clearly where Paul is pointing to. Yeah, he is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. His full name. You know, his lordship. You see in that first chapter so clearly set out what in fact the solution is of all their problems. Namely, recognition of him to be the Lord of the assembly. Now I think we come here to a point of truth. I think the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely Lord over the local assembly. I see headship more in connection with the universal church, the body of Christ, all redeemed people, wherever, you know, wherever, in what kind of church they are on the Lord's Day, all redeemed people belong to the universal church. That is his body. And we know our head is in heaven. But if it concerns to that local testimony called the Church of God, I really believe that it is not so much the aspect of headship, that is to say, you know, the head of the local church. No. You read the letter to the Corinthians, and there is always a reference to the Lordship of Christ concerning the local testimony. Now, this is important. And you know, called to be saints with all that in every place. Now, I think that every place, now we are not putting here in that teaching of the universal church. You know, you have a certain teaching, and it's quite actual in Holland, which is a teaching, you know, which comes from the exclusive line of assemblies, may I express it like this. And you know, wherever they can put in the thought of that one body, they put it in. They put it into verses where we don't see it, but they put it in it. And you run into problems. And I really believe if you have an expression here that in every place, with all that in every place, that it does not refer here to individuals wherever they are, but I think it is an expression, and this is important, of fellowship between assemblies. It is an expression of fellowship between assemblies. Now you can find, for example, throughout the whole letter, and it may be that we just refer to it in chapter 4, in verse 17, the end, as I teach everywhere in every church. Chapter 7, verse 17. Chapter 7, verse 17. The last words of verse 17. And so ordain I in all churches. Now, also in chapter 11, you have the same expression, and I think another reference, I think at least four times throughout the letter, that Paul is stating this fact. What I teach you, I have taught in all the churches. There is nothing new. You know, my instruction concerning all these things is the same instruction for all the other churches. There is the unity. Where is the unity? There. Where is it? God's word, my dear brother and sister. That is interlocal fellowship between assemblies. We would not really be happy, you know, to fellowship with an assembly where things are different than what we do here in Victoria Drive. Because then you get a kind of influence, you know, from the outside, from the other assembly, let's say. And I think we should watch it. With what kind of assembly we fellowship. Because, you know, I think the point is always, as Paul is appealing in verse 10, I beseech you, brethren. And that word beseech, you know, that has a deep meaning. It is connected with prayer, with desiring, you know, I beseech you, brethren. A beautiful word it is, in fact. By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not wonderful? There is the authority. There is the authority, you know. By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. That means the same doctrine. Absolutely. The same thing. You know, not an unimportant thing. No, a very important thing. What is essential? What is the contents of the assembly? Speak the same thing. That is the same doctrinal truth of scriptures. Now that is wonderful if we have the unity here in this, you know, because we need it. We need it. If you have sometimes, and it happens sometimes, and that is a very sad, sad thing in an assembly, a kind of an undercurrent, you know, because there is one who has a different opinion about things. Now, if these are minor things, you know, there is sometimes an explanation of a certain verse, or that there is an allowance, for example, in this explanation or that explanation, could easily be. But what the fundamental truth is concerned, I think there is one explanation. There is never a second explanation about it. Truth is truth. And God's word, I am convinced about it. And you with me. Concerning salvation, we believe in the simplicity of God's word concerning salvation. But also concerning the testimony here on earth for his name. You know, there are so many around us probably. They always make things so complicated, so complicated, so complicated. I think, my dear brother and sister, keep to the simple things. Keep to the reality.
And the reality is Christ Jesus our Lord. Colossians. The reality is Christ Jesus our Lord.
Now you see here the appeal of the Apostle Paul. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. And then, of course, that there be no divisions among you. Because divisions is honoring personalities, you know that. It's just a matter of personalities. And that is strange, you know, wherever you have a division, it is always, many times, it is named by a man. You know, in the exclusive service, you have the Kren party and the Taylor party and you have this party and it's all named by the name of a man. This is the proof, you know, of personalities. Strong, having that strong influence, something forming around themselves, my dear brother and sister, let there be no divisions among you. No personalities, but all on the same level as brethren and sisters, recognizing the Lordship of Christ. That is the solution of division. No other way. And then Paul says, be ye perfectly joined together. What an expression. That is fellowship. Namely, in the same mind, not with the same mind, in the same mind, and in the same judgments. In the same mind, to have an apprehension of truth, and in the same judgment, that is the application of truth, and be there equally acting the same. This is unity. And this is what we desire in each assembly of the Lord's people. And I say again, all the problems here at Corinth. In fact, the solution is so simple. But you're not always easy for men, because you know, if it is pride, and it happens so much, that means that self is your God. You know, that is pride. You make yourself as God, that is pride. You know that covetousness, you make money as a god. Oh, that's a bad thing. And lust, you make flesh as a god. And you find it in the church at Corinth. And Paul sets out here in the first verses of that first chapter of this letter, a letter of correction. A letter that things should be corrected. You know, the whole problem at Corinth was, of course, the wrong practice. It was not directly a wrong doctrine, not a wrong teaching as such, but it was a wrong practice. Men stood up as the big ones, you know, among the Christians. No. No big personalities, my dear brother and sister. We don't need them. We don't need them. You know, I said last night also, even the preacher, how do you call him? Full-timer? Servant of the Lord? Yes. And also he, of course, has always to realize that he is one of the brethren, nothing more. That is fellowship. That is fellowship. The other thing is a matter of gifts. There are different gifts, and we recognize the gifts in the assembly. There is one who has the ability to preach the gospel, another to explain the word of God, to minister God's word, and so on. There are the different gifts, and there are many gifts. But you know, as a fellowship, that is the point. We, you and I, are just one among the brethren and sisters. Of course. Of course. And that is fellowship. And in the fellowship, you never make differences. You know, I like that article that our dear brother Norman Crawford's, we have translated a lot from Truth and Tidings in our Dutch magazine. We call it Word and Testimony in Dutch language, Woord en Getuigenis. And, you know, we use Truth and Tidings. We are allowed to do so, to translate the articles. And Norman Crawford had one time a series on, what was it called now? I forgot. differences, and yet, you know, what is the essential thing in it? I don't recall the title of these articles, I forgot it, excuse me. But he wrote one time in an article about the meaning of fellowship and friendship. That was a good article. You know, friendship is okay, but let it never influence the fellowship. That means fellowship is not the choice of a few brethren and sisters with whom you have fellowship. You have fellowship with all. They are put together there by the Lord himself. We have not chosen them. The Lord has chosen us and has put us together to have fellowship one with another and never make a difference. Now, this is what Paul is referring to here in that most appealing verse, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And my dear brother and sister, it may speak again to our hearts. What is unity? What is unity? It is the apprehension of truth and the right application of truth, and to find there the unity between brethren and sisters. Now in this passage which we have read, you see that Paul is referring in verse 5, 6 and 7, I just make a short comment about it, that in everything ye are enriched by him. And in verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end. Now, I really believe this is so wonderful if you see at first that call of the Lord. There it started. Then to know that in everything you are enriched by him. By him that is on the way. And then in verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that day is starting with the rapture. And I think it is far more referring here to the judgment seat of Christ. And when we have had ever a man living here on earth, who was always, you know, doing his work for the Lord, preaching the gospel, ministering, writing his letters, but always realizing that one day he had to appear there before the judgment seat of Christ, and it was the Apostle Paul. You know that. How far more we ourselves, my dear brother and sister, in all what we do, we know that there will come a time that we shall stand as a responsible brother or sister, a child of God, responsible how we have treated our brethren and sisters here below. Do you know that? That is Romans chapter 14. How we have built on that one foundation, that is 1 Corinthians 3. And with which motives we have done things as unto the Lord, that is 1 Corinthians 4. And in these chapters, you know, Paul brings it all in connection with that moment that we have to stand there in front of that seat. And it is not that judgment concerning sin. No, no, he bore it all on Calvary's cross. But it is concerning my testimony as a Christian here on earth. And what I have put into that, what is the Lord's. And always remember that what is the Lord's? The assembly of the Lord's people. That is the Lord's. It is the church of God. It is the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he is Lord in the midst of his beloved people. Now I really think, you know, he or she is a happy man or a happy woman, a happy Christian, to have conviction, and I say it again, because I think this is really the most essential things in our lives here below. Conviction concerning our salvation, but also conviction concerning the assembly of the Lord's people. Now I must say concerning, I've spoken a little bit about Switzerland, and it will not say that I've changed my mission field, not at all. But you know, you have to think about Europe as a part in the world, where you have a lot of small countries together. You know, even Holland is as big as Vancouver Island. I think Vancouver Island is still a little bigger than Holland is. Now you think about it. But you have 16 million Dutchmen living in Holland, in a small country. You have Belgium. Brother Loesman and I, we try to help not only assemblies in Holland, but also in Belgium. And I mean with Belgium, you have the two languages, the Dutch-speaking part, Flemish, and the French-speaking part, that is the southern part. But we come in the Dutch-speaking part and help there constantly three assemblies. And they are in need of help. And so, you know, I always point like this, you know, Mr. Loesman living there in the northeast of Holland and I in the center of Holland. And we have the assemblies and do like this, you know. And always trying to serve, we make agreements one with another. You know, where we will be, not to control one another, but to work together in the gospel. Because it would be, you know, not good to show up at the same time, at the same place. That is not a necessity. We divide ourselves in this way that when he goes here, I go there. And the next time I go here and he goes there. And so we have a wonderful working fellowship all over these past 10 years. And if I, and I am honest about it, if I would not have really good fellowship with my fellow workers, I would leave the field. Because I think it is essential that the Lord's servants do have good fellowship one with another. And you will see the effect in the work. Because if there is a disunity between the Lord's servants, oh, I am sure there will be disunity in the assemblies as well. That cannot be. So, you know, we work in Holland, but I must say, you know, things are not easy in Holland, not at all. And one thing I mention you, and that is absolutely for prayer, this is the conviction of the local assembly. I think in the hearts of many, it is not there. It's not there. And you discover that in talking to them, you know, in putting other things, and you know what I mean, in Christendom on the same level as the assembly. I make a difference. a clear difference. The assembly does not belong, has nothing to do with Christendom. There are many Christians who are happy in Christendom, in all kinds of churches. We gather, you know, not taking upon us a name, then only to come together. The preciousness of this gathering, my dear brother and sister. But let it be not a phrase, not something as a form, an experience of our hearts. Every time when we come together and we come into these doors, remember we are here to meet Him. It's good to meet one another, of course it is good, and for me especially, after a lapse of time and be together again, but I miss certain ones. I miss who were called up yonder. That's also a call. Call unto salvation. Call unto service. Call to be a saint. And Paul says, act as a saint. And called to be with Him forever and ever and ever. And there are the ones, as we know over the last few years again, we miss many and we miss them. But you know, we have to continue. And what a privilege it is for me to be here again and to know of an assembly where there is a consistency, where there is a steadfastness, not as a form, but as a heart's experience. Let that be every time and you come into this hall and really be reminded of this fact, the reality, to meet our Lord Jesus. Not in person from face to face. That time will come when He takes us up. But you know, in spirit. Oh yes. And I tell you how sweet it is to be in His presence and to give thanks and our praise and adoration to Him who is worthy. Who is worthy. Now tonight, you know, time is gone. I was really very thankful that you received me so kind, with great love and concern. And we pray that the Lord will help us to continue, even till that blessed moment, and it may be soon, the coming of the Lord. And then our pilgrim journey will be ended, will be finished. And then we will indeed see Him face to face. May the Lord bless us all for His glory.